Wheeler Walker Jr. is in studio. He's going to play another fantastic, hilarious song for us. Lots of fun. Also, the news coming. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
But have you ever been smashed to some old school Conway Twitty? I know you got your man with the spray on tan, but you need to get your ass down south. Treat that dick up in the penthouse, put some cock down in the hen house. Have you ever been fucked by a country boy?
Love that song. I love the SEC line in that.
Suck my D while you watch the SEC.
She knows them all.
I am uncomfortable with how much I love him and how well, how familiar I am with this music.
That's Wheeler Walker Jr. The album Sex, Drugs, and Country Music's available wherever you listen to music. And shows coming up tonight, Los Angeles, the Fonda Theater, also Solana Beach, Belly Up Tavern. That's in Solana Beach, California, and that's July 27th in San Francisco. How do you play in San Francisco, Wheeler?
It's a mix. It's a there have been some protests, but
really,
yeah. But it's weird because like I do have a lot of songs about dick sucking, so so that there's people who love coming to that. True. You know my song, I sucked another dick last night, or which one of you queers is going to suck my dick?
Right.
So eating pussy, kicking ass, then I sucking dick, kicking ass.
Something
so,
for everybody.
There's something for everyone, but yeah, it's a mixed bag. I'm not gonna lie.
Does and then who? What are some of your top regions? Who gets you?
We just got back from Florida. Florida gets me. I had not been to Florida before, which is I don't know if that's hard for you to believe. I don't know why.
It's impossible.
Mm. Yeah, shitty management. But we just played Florida, and those were some of the craziest shows. We got rained out. And they waited for fucking 3 hours to see me in the rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's it work? So rained out means lightning, right?
Yeah, rained out means there's a singer who don't want to touch a wet mic.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And I say, I want to go home. And they say, well, the contract says you got to sing. Mm-hmm. So I said, when the microphone's dry, I'll sing. So then we wait till that.
And and so obviously an outdoor venue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if it's wet. If the microphone's wet inside, I am playing.
So does people get electrocuted and all that kind of stuff?
Didn't you see Almost Famous?
Yeah, I guess so.
I did when I was a kid real bad. You know what's weird? So when I first started playing music, where I was playing a party and there was beer everywhere and beer on the microphone, I touched a microphone. My eyes were open and I saw all black and I saw lightning, like white strikes of lightning. It was crazy. But yes, I have been electrocuted touching a microphone.
Shit.
We were talking about Pat Benatar not wanting to play her hit, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, and she's leaving it out of her live set. Thoughts?
Fuck Pat Benatar. That's fucking stupid. I mean, people pay good money to see my shows. I mean, I would say Pat Benatar not playing Hit Me With Your Best Shot is kind of like Wheeler Walker Jr. not playing Fuck You Bitch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's stupid.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because then... I think it is a good equivalent because, first of all, I'd be like, fuck that stupid song anyway. But also, you got one hit. Play. What the fuck we come to see you for?
It's one of her biggest. Yeah.
Well, I guess, does she have other ones?
Oh, yeah. She's got hits, but that's definitely amongst the biggest.
But if you don't have a – I mean, what's – I guess my question would be not that you would know. What's the reasoning?
It's because of all the mass shootings, she thinks it's inappropriate. Because she
but
says, hit
she
me with
goes,
your best shot, fire away.
And then she goes, you come on with a come on, you don't fight fair. It's like,
but
she's
also,
about
but,
arguing
but don't
with
we,
her.
Don't we know
man.
That hit me with your best shot ain't...
It's not about shooting guns.
Yeah, so, but we've all seen the video.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Anyway, you know what? My tickets are going on StubHub. Fuck her.
Mm. So you're going to play a song for us today.
I am.
And I'm trying to think of whether we want to, you know, get right into it or do an interview for a while. I mean, you can kind of tell me how you're feeling.
Let's do it
feeling.
First, and I have to make sure I got my voice for the song.
Okay.
Am I allowed to do that? Just tell you? I don't like telling you what to do.
No, let's do it.
You're the guest.
You want to do the song?
Yeah, but I do want to prep it a little bit. It's my first religious song.
Oh, my God.
It's not religious as much as it's religion themed.
Spiritual.
It's spiritual, yes. Mm-hmm. Spiritual love song.
Is it getting picked up by some of the gospel stations?
Yeah, it's all over all the gospel stations. God Told Me to Fuck You is what it's called. So obviously it's been getting a lot of
spins?
A lot of spins on the religious stations.
Holy.
Yeah, and I'm all over the radio right now.
Mm. And do people cover your songs?
Nobody that I've heard of, but yeah, but they cover them and then send them to me, but they're nobody you care about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't get like Pat Benatar to cover like God Said to Fuck Me.
Yeah, well, how about instead of playing Hit Me With Your Best Shot, play God Told Me to Fuck You. You do a lot better with that one.
Yeah, and she's married. She can sing it to Neil Gerardo. Yeah.
That's right. All right, well, maybe you should pick the guitar up and we should
let's do it.
Roll right into that one.
And, ballad, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be playing this at your live show, and
of course, man, this was a big hit. Yeah. I don't want to upset my fans.
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I? Pat Benatar?
Yeah.
He cares
that's right.
about his fans.
That's right. You care.
Right.
You guys hear me? Good. Cool. Babe, I know this is gonna sound crazy, 'cause I ain't never been the kind to pray. But girl, you were right, the good Lord's amazing, 'cause he came to me today in a very holy way. God told me to fuck you. God told me to lick your crotch. God told me to tell you to suck my dick. He told me he likes to watch. Please believe me, baby, it surprised me too, when God told me to fuck you. I see that cross hanging round your neck, and all it stands for, I respect. And girl, I hope you get this text, 'cause tonight I'm pretty bored, so let's listen to the Lord. And God told me to fuck you. God told me to lick your crotch. God told me to tell you to suck my dick. He told me he likes to watch. Please believe me, baby, it surprised me too, when God told me to fuck you. Girl, get down on your knees, show the Lord your love, just suck it out of me to the heavens up above. God told me to fuck you. God told me to lick your crotch. God told me to tell you to suck my dick. He told me he likes to watch. Please believe me, baby, it surprised me too, and he's the only one we should listen to. And God told me to fuck you. God told me to fuck you.
moving.
It's great to hear you slow it down and do something for the couples.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of slowing it down, I mean, that song's amazing.
Thank you so much.
I love that song. You know, he has a lullaby to his newborn son called All the Pussy You Will Slay.
You know, that's
beautiful.
That's Kid Rock's favorite song of mine.
It's fucking awesome.
Oh, really?
It's very touching.
Well, maybe we can look for that one, too. Kid Rock was in the news this weekend. So.
What do you do?
I don't know. So,
every time I hear Kid Rock's in the news, I knew something bad.
Yeah, so he canceled a show last minute due to weather.
Only pussies don't perform when it's raining. Come on, man.
Yeah, I heard it was high winds.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and all the fans became very unruly and rioted. Yeah, all the fans at the venue.
Oh, because he didn't play?
Yeah, because he didn't play. So it was just like a big deal.
Yeah, see, I'm with
throwing
him.
Stuff around.
If he's not allowed to play, he's not allowed to play.
It seems like everyone's fans. I mean, recently the Eagles fans were duking it out. There's people duking it out at Disneyland. There's people duking it out at Knott's Berry Farm. Yes, they're duking it out on airplanes. Like,
that's what I always tell people, you know, when there's fights in my shows. I'm like, there's fights at fucking Eagle shows, and they're saying "Take It Easy." they fight everywhere.
They were literally singing "Take It Easy" when a fight broke out, and I was thinking back, like, fights used to break out on schoolyards, alleys, and bars. Not airplanes and Disneyland.
No,
we have jumped the shark.
And someone told me about Sesame Street Land too.
Sesame Place. Yeah,
I don't really know what that is.
They think one of the
somebody tackled someone up on stage.
Yeah, they're like fighting security and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Throwing bottles.
Yeah,
is that the Eagles?
This is Kid Rock, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're just drunk and pissed.
Yeah, people are just pissed. They want to fucking fight.
Is it dress code that's causing this?
Lack of, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, lack of. Is too many people in board shorts and t-shirts that are making everyone throw down everywhere.
That's a good point because, like, you know,
that's a Kid Rock tuxedo.
You know, I toured with Kid Rock, and I'll tell you what, I've never seen so many people, I mean, who, it's just everyone wore, I got nothing against it, but they all wore stars and stripes, everything. Very skimp, you know, not much clothing. Right. But
These colors don't run t-shirts?
Yeah. But no, it wasn't even that. It was just literally just American flag.
Oh.
Perfect.
Everything.
Yeah.
Did you guys, speaking of despicable, so in the Disneyland fight, the two families that fought were dressed in matching attire.
Their Disney Mickey t-shirts.
Oh, so you knew it was on which team?
It makes it that much more surreal. Yeah. But, and I don't know, Chris is going to have to look for this, but somebody tweeted me an L.A. fight, like sort of another L.A. fight breaking out sort of out in the street, and people were fighting with crutches. Did anyone see this? Like people dueling and taking big swings with crutches. Like we've gotten to some new strata of society where we've just completely jumped the shark as a society.
I think it's just people have been especially here, fucking locked away for a couple of years, or just they're coming out swinging. They've been
people are just assholes.
I blame everyone. I'm a broken record, but 20 years ago, somebody said you cannot judge, and I went fuck that. I'm judging, and they're like, you can't judge. Don't judge me. Don't judge her. Don't judge us. Like you can't judge. It's like that's all we have is judging. That's what keeps society. Shame. Judgment, and then shame comes rolling in. We stop judging. People aren't ashamed anymore, and they're just going at it. And we thought, like, well, once we get security cameras up and running, that'll quell this. But it's basically like saying the Kardashians, they didn't want that porn tape coming out, did they? It's like, yes, they did.
Well, certainly.
People just start yelling world
this
star
is,
now.
I don't know, at Alvarez Street or somewhere?
Yeah, Fashion District, Santee Alley.
Yeah.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not familiar with Santee Alley?
Big brawl breaks outdoors. And everyone is just throwing down. At some point, crutches get picked up.
They each have one, like a sword.
People are going full El Cabong with crutches. Then the guy steals the other crutch.
How are they walking?
They're beating each other.
As
a fella who's got the word walker in his name and Wheeler, this must be upsetting for you to see a crutch fight.
It's putting my name in a bad light. I don't like it.
If anyone deserves to be pushed to an airport, it's you, Wheeler.
That's right.
I know, but they never seem to do it.
I feel like your grandfather did.
No, I knew I was doing well when I started, when you would put my name into Amazon and the walkers wouldn't come. My CD came up before a walker.
Oh, really?
That's how you know.
That's how I knew it was starting to get big.
I really do think you need to hear a few bars of All the Pussy You Will Slay. It's beautiful.
And this is to your young son?
Yes. Well, he was younger at the time I wrote it. But
oh, right. Then he is now.
Then he ages, you know.
Oh, right. Right. I got
like a lot of kids.
Yeah, kids with their aging these days.
I'm going to cry.
You got your mama's eyes and your daddy's cock. In a few short years, you'll be ready to rock, my son. And boy, you'll have some fun. You just came out of a pussy hole, and you'll be back in one before you know, young man. You'll have more than you can stand. And I never ever felt like this before. And son, I couldn't love you more. Oh, the pussy you will slay someday. They'll be giving it away. And you'll be munching so much muff. Just wait. All the pussy you will slay someday.
It's a nice tribute.
It's really beautiful, melodic. Anyway.
Yeah. Now I like it when the artist writes a song. I
think more heartfelt.
John Hyatt wrote a song about his daughter Georgia Ray that was a nice hit. Someone can find it. It didn't have a lot of pussy crushing.
Yeah,
but it was a young lady.
This is Wheeler's version of "Isn't She Lovely."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still get emotional when I listen. But whenever I hear that song, I remember, and I know he meant it as a compliment. But the second the song, the day the song came out, I got a text from Kid Rock. I know he's a big subject today for some reason. Mm-hmm. He said, "This makes all your other." I know he meant it as a compliment. This makes all your other songs sound like shit. But I know he means it well, but it's also kind of like,
yeah.
Are
my other ones that bad?
It's your Danny song. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a tribute to your son.
I think Eric Clapton had
Tears in Heaven.
Tears in Heaven.
How'd that turn out?
Not good.
Well, I think he wrote it after the incident.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It was prescient. I don't know. All right. Let me hit a spot and we'll do some news. Well, maybe. You know the band UFO?
Sure. Yeah.
You like the band UFO?
What's their big song?
Their big song is a live version of Lights Out in London. And they do my favorite thing. We can play a little of it. It's just fucking rock and roll. And it's live. They do my favorite thing because they're singing Lights Out in London. And at some point, they go Lights Out Chicago, and the crowd goes nuts.
They can do whatever they play.
Yeah, so I remember as a kid hearing this song, like, I don't even know where Chicago is, but they must be there.
No good live albums anymore, huh?
No.
Used to be a big thing.
Yeah, these were huge. Kiss was huge. And it's also crazy to break live, like, Peter Frampton wasn't really anybody, and then he came up with this double live album, and Frampton comes alive, and it just went insane.
Yeah, people would give. I think Kiss's live album was probably was their biggest thing at the time, right?
It broke them, and UFO wasn't much, and this album got tons of spins.
You got an idea for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do a live album.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. What are you guys doing tomorrow? You got the mics for tomorrow? Or tonight, I mean, at the Fonda.
Yeah, very excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, mic it up. All right. Wait, we just got to wait till he says sugar. But you got to be able to play, too, you know.
Yeah, fuck.
No, you can. I'm just saying, you know, UFO, those guys could handle their instruments, you know.
Well, that explains why there's no good live albums now.
Yeah.
Because no one can fucking play.
I think we're going to get a Lights Out Chicago, which is as long as we're going to stay with this. Lights out, lights out in London. Hold on tight till the end. Better now, you know we'll never. Got to get the drummer on, Gina.
Happy to do it when you want him.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
So the Shanker's the guitar player and his brother's the Scorpions guy.
Who's it? I'm confused.
All right. We get it. 70s rock and roll.
Yeah, it used to be good, huh? What was the last good rock band? Probably them.
I don't like to be dismissive of everything that's new when I haven't heard everything that's new, but these guys would, I feel like they really play the they'd really learn their instruments and then they'd become a band and then they'd tour and whatever. And I feel like everyone's just kind of doing it at the same time now. Like when you think about, Emerson, Lake and Palmer or Jethro Tull, or these guys are like classically trained musicians who would then play rock and they could all swing their asses.
Eddie Van Halen, same thing.
Eddie Van Halen. All right, let's see. Let me hit a spot, and then we'll roll into some news. American Hartford Gold. That's what I want to talk about. Inflation at a 40-year high. Interest rates skyrocketing. Experts like J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon predict a recession using terms like economic hurricane. Protect your future. Do what I did. Call American Hartford Gold. They'll help protect your savings and retirement. By diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver, one short phone call, and they'll have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put it inside your IRA or 401k. Highest rated firm in the country, A-plus rating from the BBB, and thousands of satisfied clients. Tell them Adam Carolla sent you, and when you sign up, you get up to $1,500 free silver on your first order. It's American Hartford Gold. Right, Dawson?
Call 866-899-2028. That's 866-899-2028. Or text Adam to 998899. That's 866-899-2028. Or text Adam to 998899.
Wheeler, you played the Ryman recently?
I did. That was one of my goals when I started, was to sell out the Ryman, and I fucking did it.
Yeah.
And we set a beer record there, which I didn't. I didn't know that they kept track of it, but it was cool.
Yeah.
And after all the drunks that had played there, it was pretty cool to set the beer record.
Oh yeah, and you feel like Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash and all those guys. Their audience were consumers of beer.
Totally. Yeah. And the other thing too was I was like, oh man, this I made it. So I invited all my family. A lot of my family's pretty old. I was like, listen, it was right when people were coming back out. I was like, guys, it's going to be safe. My fans are safe. I would say I had 20 family members who got COVID from that show. And I don't even think that many people. Like, I would say 23 people came and 20 of them got COVID.
Still worth it. All right.
Sorry to interrupt, but
go ahead.
Probably the reason was that it was the first show which promoters won't let me do anymore. You had to prove you had COVID to get into the show.
Wow. They needed a COVID positive ID test, card.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back with Wheeler and the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden.
The news with Gina Grad.
Sorry, I'm just texting Andy Parker right now.
Please.
All right, done.
Name dropper.
Oh, nothing. So starting with some sad news that as we record this really broke just right before the show. Paul Sorvino has died. Natural causes. He died at the Mayo Clinic in Florida. As everyone knows, he was really big on Law & Order after this. But, of course, everyone knows him from Goodfellas, Paul Cicero, the mobster. Big on Law & Order. Tons of shows. Tony nominated. Beloved. Survived by his wife, Dee Dee, three children, including actress Mira Sorvino, and five grandchildren. Brian, I don't mean to be rude or crass.
How old was he?
I'll double check. Because I'm just
in his
70s. But is he on your list of, they were alive?
No, I knew Paul Sorvino was alive. This is a last minute request. Cause I didn't
83
know,
years
I
old.
Didn't know, but he died. But Ben, if you're able to find when Mira Sorvino won the Oscar for Woody Allen's Mighty Aphrodite, she was great. Her date was Quentin Tarantino. It was a weird Oscars. Paul Sorvino was in the crowd. The tears flowing.
The nachas, the pride.
The just the proud papa. And the other, he's a big bear, you know. She's up there, beautiful young ingenue, you know, winning the Oscar. Just the tears streaming down his face were just beautiful. It's priceless.
Was that your folks at the Ryman?
I think they were mainly coughing the whole time. But it was equivalent. Yeah, they were very proud. It was the first time they've been proud of me in a long time.
And they're down to listen to the music. They don't get offended or.
I didn't say that. They were.
Oh,
they,
gotcha.
They were. They would have rather me, you know, been a little more
subdued.
Hank.
Yeah.
Like, but you know,
her day was Quentin Tarantino that night.
Oh. Yeah.
It was the year after Pulp Fiction, I think, a year or two later, and he was just drinking. He was like, I had nothing on the board.
And my parents and my family, and when you give me this award, you honor my father, Paul Sorvino, who was
a mess.
Just a big Italian mook.
I love you very much, Dad.
Oh.
That is emotional.
He is broken down.
Anyway, that's it.
That's nice.
Is that from what Woody Allen did to her?
I don't think it came up during the acceptance speech, but you never know.
Between Woody and Harvey Weinstein, she had a rough go over in the 90s.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right.
When they were both – we watched Seven again the other night. When they were both fresh on the scene, didn't you get Gwyneth Paltrow and Mira Sorvino mixed up all the time, or was that just me?
I'll say yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll say yes, too, just so we can turn the page.
How dare you. Here's something you're definitely going to want to turn the page from. Monkeypox is now a global health emergency. The World Health Organization designation means that it's seen enough outbreaks worldwide that it's a threat and it could become another pandemic. There have been 16,000 reported cases of monkeypox in 70 countries. As of Friday, the U.S. has reported just under 3,000. A lot of them coming in from New York. The big difference between the monkeypox outbreak and COVID is that the monkeypox vaccine already exists, thank God.
It started at the Ryman.
That's probably
out here,
true.
And then yeah,
a lot of people very wart-like.
Oh my God, is that true?
New York has the most confirmed case in 900.
It should be called Wheelerpox.
That's right.
Now you're talking.
California, Florida, Georgia, Illinois all has it. Meanwhile, thank God, the vaccine prevents the illness. It can also be given to treat it. But this is not like your, I have COVID, trust me. This is like pustules all over your body.
Yeah.
Not cute.
Do they go away? I mean, I assume they go away eventually. They leave like pock marks or.
So how do you get it? Is it the same thing, coughing?
Pretty much gay sex.
Yeah. Gay sex?
They don't want to talk about it. But
we're really
gay
not allowed
sex.
To say
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
you're not allowed to be factual. That's
it's
the
funny
problem.
You should say that because
yes, it's a gay thing.
I gotta stop doing that.
The same with AIDS. We just had to turn it into heterosexual equal opportunity. That's what we do.
Through close contact.
It's science. It's science. It's all.
Then what would make it? What would make it more like? Anal. What would make monkeypox more transmissible? Same thing as AIDS, I guess?
It's like it's possible for heterosexual sex, but it's more of a gay thing. And
or you mean it's just it's in that community?
In that community, yes.
So there's nothing they do differently. And I'm asking
you're talking
for
about different positions?
I'm asking for a friend here.
Write a song.
Yeah. I don't know. We should ask Chuck Berry about how they work sexually, but
more transmissible that way. But,
yes,
but a lot of headlines would appreciate you not calling it a gay STD.
Well, you have to accurately define things, even if it fucking offends people, because you have to sort of figure out how to approach problems. Like,
and keep
you can call
safe.
AIDS a equal opportunity killer, but if you're going to spend a lot of time coaching up heterosexual couples, you're going to be wasting a lot of time. The time should be committed to groups that are much more vulnerable.
Well, now that it's I'm over here just fucking sweating balls here now that I know that it's from getting it up the ass.
Oh, boy.
Oh, right.
I'm messing around.
He's into what you know. He's into whatever. He's not tight.
I said I do well in San Francisco, man.
Yeah. This dude might be a hero, might be insane. I guess time will tell. A top engineer at Google has been fired for coming up publicly and saying that he believes one of Google's AIs is sentient. The AI in question is called Lambda. It's short for Language Model for Dialogue Applications. And it was publicly unveiled by Google last year as a means for computers to better mimic open-ended conversations. But Blake Lemoine seems to not only believe Lambda has attained sentience, but was openly questioning whether it possessed a soul. And in case there's any doubt about what his views are, he said, I legitimately believe Lambda is a person. Google published a statement about this saying that they have found this wholly unfounded, and they've been working with LeMoyne for months to clear it up, and he just doesn't want to listen.
Speaking of open-ended, let's get back to monkeypox.
Sure.
Whatever I now believe, whatever apocalyptic future that we've been discussed in movies for the last 20 years,
yeah, Skynet becomes active.
It's all going to happen at this point. I used to poo-poo it, and I no longer do that. I just go, I guess this is what's coming.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Didn't it used to be like there's some weird disease in some foreign country? You're like you didn't even think twice about it. Now everyone I hear about. I think it's coming.
Everything's weaponized, but
especially when it's.
I had this thought the other day. Remember, you're kind of your first thing, and I don't know if I'll describe this correctly, but it's like you were talking about buying sandals or looking on your computer for sandals, and then it's like the next day, I open my computer, it's a bunch of sandals. Such a coincidence. It was weird. Like I was just talking about it. In front of the Alexa or the Siri, whatever. I was just looking at it, and then a bunch of sandals came up. Police wanted to sell me sandals. It was a coincidence. And now it's like,
how they sell sandals.
I don't have an Alexa. I don't want one. My mom's been trying to foist one on me for years. I'm like, not that our house is that interesting. We're selling government secrets, but I want to fly under the radar on this.
Christy and I are the same dynamic where she wants like Alexa, like a voice activated show. Not my house.
Nope.
We got one as part of like
But it doesn't even matter because no matter what the fuck I talk, I'm with you. I've ever met the fuck I talk about. I open my phone and there's fucking, I don't have Alexa, but they're fucking listening to me. It's like, I get scared to click on a YouTube video. It's like someone sends me like a story about, like, what if I click on a fucking Justin Bieber video by accident?
What if you do?
I'm going to be fucking seeing that shit for the rest of my goddamn life.
Mm. Well, sometimes it's psychological like that, and the mystery's still there. Sometimes it just comes for your fingers. Because there's this robot in Russia that fucked this kid up. This 7-year-old chess player, well, I'll play the video on mute, in Moscow had his finger broken by his robot opponent during a match at a tournament last week. According to a Russian media outlet, the boy responded too quickly to one of the robot's moves, and the robot grabbed the child's finger and broke it. Human adults rushed over, tried to pry the robot's claw off the kid. The boy was whisked away to medical treatment. His finger eventually set in a cast. He's okay. But as expected from sometimes, Russian chess society.
This is the beginning AI.
That's right. They blame the kid. They said there are certain safety rules, and the child apparently violated them. So what are you going to do?
Oh, they blame the kid?
They blame the kid. Oh, he moved too fast. That's what happens. You get your finger broken.
Yeah.
Critical thinking would be nice on the part of the robots.
They have all the, those robots that don't really look like robots. They look like
dogs.
I don't know, sheep or mules or something weirdly
four-legged
coming out of Japan. And then at some point, we're going to have to make them smart enough to know when they pick out our avocados, which ones are ripe and which ones are hard. And all these little nuanced things they're going to have to know. And then once they get infused with that, they're also going to know how to kill you and collect insurance.
Of course. Right. What was that movie from the 80s where Gene Simmons was a bad guy and there were robot spiders?
Gene Simmons?
Yeah.
From Kiss?
Yeah. What were you people watching in the 80s?
Well, Kiss went to the amusement.
I'm aware. He was the bad guy and there were electronic spiders doing exactly this. So
it's
anyway.
It's called Runaway, Chris says on the screen from 1984.
Apparently they had a crystal ball. So I'm just saying, let's take it off. If
these computers are going to break Russian kids' fingers, who gives a fuck? I'm all for it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
If this is the extent of their damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, kid, next time your dad's thinking about going in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I really worried about the fingers of Russian children? I don't care.
Mm. That's a good point.
Let's break them all. The honesty's
refreshing.
Break them all.
If you kind of think about it, it goes back. At its origins, you think about like the Wizard of Oz and the witch and the flying monkeys, and she's doing the witch's bidding, And now it's just going to be drones, and finger breaking Russian chess robots and things. But
Flippy, don't forget about Flippy.
Yeah.
The fast food flipper.
Yes, it will be on.
Yeah, it's
on.
It
will be on.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to refresh your memory because we talked about this a few years ago and there's finally a conclusion. Remember back in 2017, there was that story of that couple that—
Think about this with Flippy.
Yeah.
Just think about, you know, we would harness pack mules and camels and Clydesdales and stuff. We used to get, you know, things to do our bidding.
Sure.
But— Flippy.
And
everyone always talks about, they're never late. They don't ask for a raise. How about never taking a shit at work?
Oh,
does anyone really factor the big one in? Never.
Not publicly.
Chuck Berry'd be out of business with Flippy working his restaurant.
He'd be depressed.
No one ever drops a deuce at the workplace. Yeah. No toilet cleaning. No, we're out of paper. We need the wipes. You know, nothing. Nothing. Just flipping burgers, searing burgers all day.
That's a very good point.
Just a little oil, not like a vegetable oil, grease with the gears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mm. So there was this couple, we've talked about them and we've been following them a little, but they're back in the news. They did that GoFundMe for that homeless guy on the side of the road. The girl, Kate McClure, said, my car broke down. It was nighttime. I was by the freeway.
Yeah.
And this homeless guy told me to roll up my windows. He gave me $20 to get gas. Now I want to set up a GoFundMe for him. It raked in $400,000. Turns out it was a total scam. She and her boyfriend and the homeless guy were all in on it together.
Mm.
And
well, at least there was a homeless guy.
Well, see, this
I was going to say. Sounds smart.
This is what's interesting about it. The greed is fantastic. So McClure and her then boyfriend Mark D'Amico posted about this good deed. It went viral. They made the money very quickly, and it was, you know, to get this guy off the streets. So the prosecutor said the couple spent the money on a BMW, lots of gambling in casinos. I feel like that was the origination of this. I feel like they have a gambling problem because gambling came up a lot. Louis Vuitton handbags, Disneyland, all kinds of stuff. Meanwhile, the homeless guy received $75,000 as his cut, which apparently was less than he was supposed to receive, you know, like split three ways. So instead of just taking 75 grand and shutting the fuck up, he sues them that he didn't get all of his part of the scam.
So he used
money.
His money. He used his money for a lawyer.
He retained
exactly.
A lawyer.
Exactly. Yeah. And you
write
think
that off.
And you think when you just hear the story, you're like, of course, he's absolutely right. He's this guy. He did a good deed. They ran away with his money. Did not realize he was in on the scam. Probably should have shut the fuck up.
Mm.
So now, since Bobbitt, the homeless man, was in on it too, he pled guilty to conspiracy to commit theft by deception. He was sentenced to a 5-year probation that includes drug treatment, which is nice. D'Amico, the boyfriend, he pleaded guilty a couple years ago. He's serving a 5-year term in New Jersey. But Kate McClure, she's the newest one. She just got hit for a year and a day for whatever reason in her sentencing, and she has to also serve restitution. And I think this is probably a huge win for sites like GoFundMe because who knows how many scams are, you know. This is a good warning for anyone who's trying to pull this shit.
They always talk about get this guy some money so he can get off the street.
Yeah.
Does anybody know somebody who's on the street for strictly financial reasons?
Like, but just a little bit of money would help.
You could stay in a hotel or a motel, or you could get an apartment with somebody if you've just had some cash.
Otherwise, you're a pillar of the community.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, everyone I grew up with was, like, sort of poor and semi-jobless, but nobody was on the street. Everyone just sort of ended up, like I said, when my dad and my mom got divorced, my dad went to my grandparents' closet. My mom's parents, and slept in a large closet. Now, because he wasn't a junkie, he was just a poor person, so they let him sleep in a closet.
Well, look at this dude. He got 75 grand and turned being homeless into being in jail.
Right.
It's that kind of brain that gets you on the street.
That's right. Remember the Golden Throat guy?
The announcer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had this funny, this funny conversation with my stepmom and my dad yesterday where they were explaining in between discussions about me kicking them a couple of bucks.
Oh.
There was a discussion at some point I had to do. Tell me if this is a dick move. My stepmom's always kind of gainfully employed, or had been, and both my parents are kind of hooked up with people that were willing to work, so
smart.
They didn't have to work so hard. And they just kind of hung out while people worked around them.
Yeah.
And at some point, my stepmom yesterday, she said, well, you know, we're now both just on Social Security and fixed incomes, and when we both pool it together, and so, you know, we contribute about the same money, because in the past, it was always they work full time and whoever my parents were hung out. So she was kind of making the point. She kept going, we both put into the pot and we just, it's about even. It's about even. This is, we equal, about equal into the pot. And then I just looked at my dad and I said, equal or just a little bit less? And my poor stepmom's like, well, yeah, Jim's a little, yeah, not quite as much. And I'm like, even when it's coming from the government or from some other, I just, how did I know you were putting in a little bit less just to keep it consistent?
Gotta stay true to the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did he have any thoughts about that?
No.
Stay quiet.
No, the beauty of those people is getting back to shame. Mm. Nope. No problema.
Mm. Well.
Yeah.
And like you said, his money is not his money.
Also, the thing about people who don't do anything, they complain about people who do a lot of shit because
and
they don't
how?
Do anything. Like my dad was like, oh, your stepmom, she's cleaning the gutters out, she's washing the windows down, she's walking the dog, she's going, it's like, yeah, guess why?
She's doing things.
Guess why? That's why. Because you're fucking with a flugelhorn in the living room. That's why she's doing those things. I know it's annoying, but don't you want clean gutters?
To be done.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to presume to tell you how to do your job, Wheeler, because I know you're very good at what
well,
you do, and you don't need
that.
Any help. But this next story may inspire maybe another song. Again, I don't want to tell you your business. Did you guys know there is a significant rumor about Willem Dafoe?
Oh, yeah. He dog.
Yeah.
Hmm?
So the rumor going around about he has...
I've seen the movie.
Well, no, you haven't.
Oh, I've seen the movie where they use the stunt cock.
Why do I even bother recording?
Sorry.
All right, so apparently
no one knows Defoe's cock like Brian.
His dick is so big that they had to use a stand-in one for the film. Why is that? Well, director Lars von Trier told a story recently to the Boston Phoenix newspaper saying that they needed to use a stunt penis for Defoe in the movie Antichrist so people wouldn't, and I quote, be confused.
A smaller stunt penis.
Yes.
Wow.
A more appropriately sized. Von Trier clarified that Defoe's penis was so big that everybody was confused when they saw it. So they needed to use someone with a small one so it possibly wouldn't pull focus in the scene. How would you like to be that guy they call?
I'm still trying to figure out what song you want me to write.
I don't know. Maybe there's just something
Willem
there.
Defoe's
about,
cock?
Yes.
Stunt cock.
Stunt cock.
I do have a theory about the guys that are have a certain build and a certain look that oftentimes have a huge hog. Like, you don't big husky guys and fat guys, it's always kind of the drawn, kind of bony guys that have
it
the
sure
big
is.
Hogs.
I mean, pronounced jaw.
You met my husband, yes. You saw his carriage.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking more, you know, the great John Holmes was a very spindly guy, the kind of drawn in angular face. Those guys. Now, maybe it's because the hog seems bigger on their carriage because they're so narrow that this is taking up 26% of their weight, their width and their waist is their dick.
Yeah.
But also, Defoe fits.
Yeah. So
that's how he's getting his exercise, you mean?
Perfectly. Mm-hmm. Just dragging his hog around.
Yeah. That's why it looks kind of sunken in.
Isn't that a Tom Petty song?
Stop dragging my hog around.
Let's stay in the nether regions for a second.
Wow. Yeah. That is a... Now...
Good for him.
If you're Defoe, do you argue about putting this information out there, or do you subtly push it along, or you encourage
it? I think he's probably okay with it. Actually, somebody asked him, one of the reporters asked him in an interview, and apparently he has like kind of a beef with Hollywood, because they said like, and we've heard... Yeah, we've heard, you know, like in Hollywood, the rumor is that your penis is so big, whatever, it won't fit on the screen. And apparently he got up and he's like, I'm not really in Hollywood anymore.
Mm.
So that was his – that was a kind of a cool sidestep.
Sounds like it's true.
That's
what I would do if it was true. I mean,
his dick's in Hollywood,
that's
he's not.
In a different zip code. It was – because Florida
did his,
Project –
his dick left a minute later?
That's right.
There's no frontal nudity in the front.
Right, but it was definitely more of like a indie film. It's not like he's being –
Oh, even this movie we're talking about, Antichrist, is a very off – it's a very indie, weird movie.
And he's never really – has he ever been nominated for anything, or he's never won anything?
Yeah. he was nominated for the Vincent Van Gogh movie like 2 years ago.
But
really?
But he hasn't racked up a bunch of Oscars.
I don't believe so. We'd have to look that up. But I would say no.
Interesting.
You want the huge hog rumor, even if it's a rumor, because women are curious.
Pete Davidson.
You know, and they're going to want to see it.
Yeah.
Possibly slay it, sure. You know, but certainly see it.
Yeah.
So you want that going around.
I want to see the interview where someone asked if he had a big dick. He's like, God damn it, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nominated four times, so nice. Says Chris.
But never a bride.
Platoon, maybe?
Yeah, maybe Platoon.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stay in the crotch for a hot sec, because this is really a fucking horror movie come to life. A 73-year-old Florida woman is lucky to be alive after a large sailfish. Have you seen a sailfish?
Yes.
Put that up, Ben.
They will fuck your shit up.
It's literally like a needle coming out of the front of the face. Jumped into the fishing boat she was in and stabbed her in the groin. The victim was with two others last week when an angler on board caught the sailfish on a fishing line about 2 miles offshore. They attempted to reel it in. Two men on the boat noticed the creature began to charge the boat. The fish then jumped out of the water, stabbed the woman in the crotch, and she was standing next to the center console, you know, just standing in the boat. The anglers reported the sailfish was estimated to be about 100 pounds. And
yeah,
she's alive.
Look
at that fucking thing.
They have a 2-foot ice pick for a nose. They're weird.
They have a rapier.
Beautiful.
They'll put a hole in you. They must hunt that way, how they do it.
Never seen a sailfish pop up on a menu.
No. Mm.
Never
good
once.
Good point.
They have swordfish, but not sailfish.
Yeah, no, I've seen marlin.
And then, is there a difference between a swordfish and a sailfish?
Well, sometimes they call it something else, like what's orange, Ruffy? Really?
Right.
They rename it, but usually that's when they're gross looking. This is a cool one.
Stabbed in the crotch, so she won't be ready for Defoe for a while.
Yeah, that's going to take some healing.
Or does that make her more ready?
Depends which way it went in.
Yeah. You might be right.
Oh God! When you guys we do stories about like someone sack tapping you too hard. I got no thoughts about it. My knees are weak thinking about this.
Yeah, probably speared an egg.
It's a pretty fish.
Majestic. But and then what happens? Because, you know, the lady's bleeding out, but you got
100-pound sailor fish.
You got a fish.
Yeah.
You just cracked a beer. You got your line in the water.
Look what I caught. Yeah,
there's got to be some tourniquet talk. You know what I mean? I would be the one.
Put a napkin over it.
I try to talk people out of going to the hospital all the time, but this would be a tough sell. But on the other hand, we chartered the ship for 3 hours. We're only 80 minutes in.
It wouldn't really be fair to us.
Yeah, you want on the wall. You want to hear the story about this fish? It's a doozy.
Could attract a shark, you know, chum the waters.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. Throw her in.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more.
Okay, well, let's talk about the other side of the cute and not so cute animal spectrum. I have been sitting on this story, and it's just never came up. And I think today's the day. A hairless Chinese crested Chihuahua. These things are like straight from hell.
They will win like the ugliest.
Yeah, they're one of those like a face only a mother could love. His name is Mr. Happy Face, and he was crowned the latest winner in the 2022 World's Ugliest Dog Contest in Petaluma, California.
Does he have the blop, the tongue that comes out?
Hold on. Okay. We'll show you right away. Now, I've been looking up these dogs because I'm looking up hypoallergenic shit, and some of them look like glam rock stars. They have no hair, but they have these fabulous, like, bouffant actual hair on top of their head. But this guy wasn't so lucky, Mr. Happy Face. You have it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Poor thing. His owner, Janita Bannally, said that the title's an honor. In August 2021, she adopted
looks like
the dog.
Dude who gave me monkeypox.
That's right. She rescued this dog from a hoarder's house, which I believe. Bannally said that the winning dog's very old, has many health problems, but says Mr. Happy Face raises awareness that even old dogs need love.
That's the dog on the right?
That's a good-looking dog.
The dog on the right.
Look
at that poor fucking thing.
Were we discussing this, or was I just thinking about this?
That
this fine line between hoarders and collectors.
Ah,
were we discussing that?
No, organization the fine line?
It's picking a lane.
Oh,
like if you go to anyone's house who collects all things bunnies or all things hippos, we have some sort of cute reverence for her. Like, that's the bunny lady. Really just a hoarder whose hoards one thing.
Yeah.
They're equally miserable. Yeah. The house is equally fucked up. Psychologically, if you gave him a PET scan, it would show up the same way in the scanner. But you are, if someone is a hoarder, you're amongst the worst people society has to offer.
True.
And then if you're a collector of one thing and it fills up the entire house, sort of some reverence there.
Yeah.
But they're all the same fucked up people.
No, you're right. A lot of porcelain frogs and shit. Oh, because then it becomes like a stop on the tour across Kansas.
I've been to the house of the guy who collects all the Charlie's Angels stuff. Oh, that guy was in an apartment. Can we agree that if you're in an apartment, no collecting? You got to get yourself a down payment. Stop buying all the fucking $6 million man lunch pails. Focus on your fucking down.
Fair.
You're on eBay all day looking for Charlie's Angels figurines.
And I'm with you on that. The other thing, too, is you can't – when the rent goes up, you can't call your buddies to help you fucking move when you got to – and I got to come over with my fucking truck and spend my full fucking afternoon
right.
with – you shouldn't have bought this much shit if you live in a little fucking shithole.
Yes.
That's a good point.
That's
good
right.
point. I have all a buddy who did that once. He's like, can you help me get my arcade games out of my apartment? Why'd you have arcade games in your fucking?
Oh my god! Like the.
Wait till you buy a house.
Wow! Yeah. Like at a Pizza Hut kind of arcade game.
Yeah, like the giant arcade.
Damn.
Well, I'd make fun of your friend, but my first apartment we had Asteroids in the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
And my roommates were like wanted to switch it to free mode. You know, there's like a switch unlimited, and I was like, we have enough stoners fucking their girlfriends here already for free and eating my fucking generic cereal. It's a fucking quarter. You want to play this shit. You want to hang out. It's a fucking quarter.
Smart.
At the end of each month, we get like $47 in quarters. And then we go, we're going to the Sherman Oaks Mall.
You invested in a certificate of deposit.
We're buying pot. Then we're going to the mall to watch a movie. Then we're eating Chinese food at the mall. And we're going to take this bucket
date
of quarters.
Night. That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, date night with three dudes.
That's right.
All right, let's bring her home.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Do not ever be the first apartment. Do not be the first apartment amongst the friends.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
the loser, dumb shit, right. not going to college friends.
Right.
They need a place to do drugs. They need a place to flop. They need a place to plow their girlfriend. They need a place to crash when they get into an argument with their girlfriend. Your fucking house, your shitty little apartment becomes the place that everyone who can't do shit at home because they live at home are coming. So if you have friends that are like a year below you in high school or whatever, do not get that first apartment. They're all showing up.
Yeah. Same guy, and I think Brian can attest to this, the first guy with a pickup truck.
Oh,
that was
moving,
me.
Moving. Yeah. Me too. I had the pickup truck. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, my friend's dad came to crash out before prison. Stay on the sofa for 3 weeks before he went to the joint.
You're literally the halfway house.
All right. Let me tell you about the Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this podcast. It is the Jordan Harbinger Show. If you like fascinating podcasts and interesting people, then you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone. No matter what you're into, Jordan talks to Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter, or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. We enjoy the show. We've had Jordan on a few times, been on this show. He's been on Me and Drew's show a few times. We know you're going to as well. So it's the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you find it on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to finer podcasts. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show. All right, let's see. Wise Guys Comedy Club, August 26th, 27th. That'll be Salt Lake City. We'll do some live pod there and some stand-up there. Wheeler Walker Jr., Sex, Drugs, and Country Music. Got dates coming out. Los Angeles, the Fonda Theater. That'll be tonight. Solana Beach at the Belly Up coming up July 27th. Instagram him at Wheeler Walker Jr. and Eddie Trunk. You can check out Trunk Nation daily. Rock show, and until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Wheeler Walker Jr. and Eddie Trunk and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it! Mahalo.
We're coming to your town. We'll help you party it down.
Pick up your copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something, Advice, Answers, But No Apologies. It's available now, and the audiobook will be available on August 2nd. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.